Well, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Craig Hemke, founder, editor of the TF Metals Report website. I will post a link below to that website. But Craig, first thing we're going to talk about here is something you pointed out to me off mic, and that deals with an increase in new open interest contracts for the precious metals, well, for gold in particular. Can you take us through some of that updated data that you're watching, please?
Yeah, never get too worked up about this anymore because it's rather predictable. And I mention it on Twitter and to my people on my side, if anything, because I just think it shines a light upon how the precious metals are priced. Because pricing is derived through these futures markets, and it's the trading of those futures contracts, the derivatives, that is what sets price for the physical metal. And these contracts just kind of get created and retired really from nothing. I mean, we know what's stated by the CME group as the total amount of gold that's in the vaults at the COMEX vaults. And it's about 7.7 million ounces if you add together all of the registered and eligible gold. Well, 7.7 million ounces is the equivalent of 77,000 contracts, which, again, people say, well, that's fine, you know, because nobody ever stands for delivery or whatever. But what bothers me is when we get a period like these last 8 days where there has been price pressure through demand for that form of gold exposure. And you got spec buyers coming in, whether it's, you know, the move in interest rates that's going down, the slowing economy, the trade war, the falling stock market, whatever. You get people that suddenly have demand for the gold contract again. And the banks that make the markets just simply issue new contracts to meet that demand, taking basically the other side of the trade, just saying, well, look, we think gold will go back down before it goes up and we'll be able to cover these back up as price falls and all that kind of thing. All the while, none of this is relatable to physical gold itself. In the last 8 days, Monday through Friday of last week, Monday through Wednesday of this week, the available supply of COMEX contracts has gone up by 84,000, or about 20%. Again, 84,000 contracts, Corey, that's at 100 ounces per contract, that's 8.4 million ounces. Again, on top of, you know, the 44 million ounces that were already out there, you know, with 440,000 contracts that were, you know, out there as of 8 days ago. So these contracts just get created from nothing. The banks taking the risk primarily on the short side, selling them to meet the demand of the speculators taking the long side, the speculators buying the contracts on margin with money they don't even have. And never intending to take delivery, just as the banks never intend to make delivery. And so this whole process is somehow, you know, used to determine price. That's, I guess, ultimately what I think is unfair. And so when we talk about, or at least when I talk about, hopefully one day getting back to a system that actually requires some type of physical metal to determine what the price is, that's what I'm ultimately hoping for.
Okay, well, we have talked about the way the system works, and the fact of the matter is that is just the way the system works.
The way the system is set up. That's right, Corey.
When we do see the specs start to take some more long positions, do you think that is actually showing that there is more interest in the sector, or is this just another trade that the banks are happy to take on the other end because they think they can make money?
Well, there's more interest in the sector. Yeah, specter would be a good way to look at it, too. I feel like we're haunted. What typically happens is some event takes. I mean, we've been in trading. Let's clear this up. I mean, we've been in this sideways range of about $200 for the last 6 years. And some event will happen, you know, when you're toward the lower end of the range, whether it's a trade war like we heard, you know, earlier this week or whatever, that suddenly shifts sentiment positive. Price begins to move up. Maybe it breaks a resistance line, or in gold's recent case, it double bounced off the 200-day moving average, which is, looks pretty bullish. And then on Monday, moved up through the 50-day moving average. Okay, so all of a sudden, price is above all the key moving averages. This gets the attention, if you will, of the algos, you know, the pre-programmed high-frequency trades of the hedge funds and the trading funds and the like. And they begin to seek more COMEX gold exposure, almost, you know, again, because they've been pre-programmed to do it. Now, if that was, say, Apple stock or Coca-Cola or you name it, where the supply, the available float on any given day is fixed, then price has to move up until a point is reached where holders of existing Apple shares or existing Coca-Cola shares are willing to part with them. So you get this fundamental change, something that excites buyers. They come in looking to buy Apple stock. Price moves up until someone that an existing holder is willing to sell. Okay, and you get this new equilibrium. But that's not how it works in COMEX gold. You get a day like Monday or any of the days of the last eight where there is this new demand from the speculators. And you'll see this reflected in the COT report tomorrow. But there's this new demand for the speculators. Well, yeah, there are existing contracts that get bought and sold. But then there's 84,000 new ones that are created as well. And that all that does, again, if you can, this is just Econ 101, if you can increase the supply of a good at roughly the same rate as the demand increases, then price should stay the same. And over that eight-day period where the supply was increased by 20%, well, and if demand increased by nearly 20%, price should go sideways. Well, price was up about 10 bucks. So anyway, it's the system, like you said. The system was set up this way on January 1, 1975. At the exact same time when U.S. citizens were able to own physical gold again. And what has been created are all these forms, alternate forms of gold, gold exposure. You know, you have all these different substitutes, whether they're futures contracts or ETFs or whatever. As we had been spoken before in the past, Corey, that's the difference between gold and Bitcoin, where even though there are now Bitcoin futures contracts, there are no other forms of synthetic Bitcoin exposure that are out there. If you want to own Bitcoin, you got to go buy some. And as the supply decreases, or the amount of available supply that comes to the market, if you will, decreases every couple of years through the halvings, right? And as demand increases through more and more people accepting it and using it, wanting to buy it, the math works. And that's why it keeps going higher. And that's why it surges higher sometimes, because you get so much demand and no, you know, very little available supply. But that's, again, not how it works in the precious metals, where you trade off these derivatives and these forms of exposure that can be created from nothing, just simply because a party with deeper pockets is willing to bet that they're going to end up winning in the end.
All right. Well, let's also talk about what's going on.
That was a rant.
That was. But I want to tie this into also what's going on with money flowing into other safe haven assets. We're seeing the bond market technically break out in the U.S. We're trading at levels we haven't seen in a number of years. This is showing that investors are still generally worried, even though the markets were recovering. That same money isn't exactly flowing into gold. However, you can also consider that the U.S. dollar is also moving higher and gold is holding steady. So that can be taken as a positive. But why do you think that with all this move into safe havens, we haven't been able to see the gold price really outperform when it comes to the U.S. dollar price?
Well, Corey, I refer to your answer back to what we just talked about, because if money is flowing into gold, if people are looking for COMEX gold exposure where the price is set, and if more contracts can be created, 20% more contracts can be created over the last 8 days, then gold doesn't go up and you get a lower high and the trend remains down and sentiment remains down and you don't get your breakouts, all that kind of stuff. But on a bigger picture, bond yields continue to fall. The yield curve continues to either flatten or fully invert. If you think about this, the 10-year note is at the same rate that it was, 2.40%, exactly where it was in December of 2017. I mean, that's four Fed funds rate hikes ago. Okay, so the last time we were at 240, Fed funds were at 140. Okay, so at least you had a positive slope. Now you're 240 across the board. The Fed, thinking that they could raise short-term interest rates, thinking that the long end would act the way they wanted to act, has been wrong. And they've now created a self-fulfilling prophecy of a recession, and which is clearly coming if we're not already in it. Bond market then sees that. You get this positive feedback loop, because why the hell would you not want to buy a 10-year note at 2.4% when there's no inflation and we're clearly heading into a recession? And then the rates go even lower, which forces the Fed to act. The Fed now, you know, you hear Kudlow and the like talk about needing a 50 basis point rate cut. 50 basis points would cut Fed funds to 190. Well, the two-year note is 220. I mean, they got to cut it 50 basis points just to create a positive spread between overnight and 2 years. I mean, this is definitely coming. And so as we relate this to gold and silver, all you can do is be patient at this point. I know everybody's been patient now for 6 years. But in the middle of 2010, which is what 2019 resembles, gold fell from the end of June to the end of July. It fell $100 from 1260 to 1160. And if you got blown out because you got impatient at the end of July 2010, you missed the move then in the back half of that year from 1160 to 1420. Well, here we are, held in check and going down again under similar economic circumstances. I still am firmly in the camp that I think we're going to get a heck of a rally here in the back half of this year, with this year still being a great year for gold and silver.
All right. Well, I hope you're right here, Craig. Some things do need to obviously develop, but as for where we stand, it's, well, unfortunately, just in that range that it has been in for a while now. And developments are looking positive, but we just haven't gotten that breakout yet. And we need some more positive developments to take us even higher. But hey, Craig, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today and have a great rest of your week.
Hang in there, my friend. This will be fun again soon.